The reading is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 27. It can be found on page 985. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." This is the word of the Lord.
And do please keep that passage open in front of you, because we're going to look at the rest of it, of the story as well, up to verse 35. But just thought we'd have that short first half as our reading, and I'm going to talk about that first. Why is it that so many young people are being stabbed in South London and so many carry knives? Why is it that the most powerful man, well, no, actually, the leader of the most powerful nation on the planet, I'm not sure George Bush is at the moment the most powerful man, but the leader of the most powerful nation on the planet cannot fulfill his heart's desire to bring peace between Israel and Palestine, as he set out to do this year? Why is it that there is a man in America who week by week sat in church with his fingers firmly in his ears throughout the entire service for all to see? There's a common answer to all three, and the answer is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. For the young people in South London, particularly the young men, but the young women too, it's because they seek a status, they seek an identity, they seek a significance in a society where, frankly, they don't get accorded much of that. And so they have to, they believe, create their own significance by being tough, being violent, being aggressive to anyone who gives them less than the respect that they feel they need to try and get. And so there's no tolerance, there's no acceptance, there's no leniency. If I think you've slighted me, even if you didn't mean to, there is no room for lenience. There is only violence and unforgiveness. Israel and Palestine, the problem is basically, it's very simple. And who knows where the chicken and the egg is, but let's start with the Palestinians, just for the sake of argument. They fire rockets into Israel. They land in Israel and cause some damage or cause casualties. So the Israelis launch an airstrike or send some tanks or some troops in, and they kill some Palestinians. So the Palestinians fire some rockets or fire some shots at the Israelis. And so the Israelis, you get the picture. And that is how it has gone on for year after year after year. There is no forgiveness. There is simple retaliation, tit for tat. And then the man in America, sitting with his fingers in his ears, a tragic story. It would be funny if it wasn't sad. The church committee decided to buy a new sound system. And the man didn't agree with it. He didn't want a sound system in the church. And so to show his protest, whenever the sound system was switched on, he put his fingers in his ears so that he couldn't hear. Every week, week after week, for 11 years. Unforgiveness. And so I hope that just brings out how relevant, how practical, how up-to-date Jesus' message about forgiveness is. What John Ortberg, in his book Everyone's Normal, Everybody's Normal Till You Get to Know Them, calls spiritual surgery. It's about forgiveness. It's about cutting out the problem, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the anger, and allowing God to get rid of that and deal with it. Spiritual surgery is incredibly relevant and incredibly important in our society. If these are the kind of problems that we're facing, we need somehow to find forgiveness. And Jesus sets out two ways to live. It's very stark, very simple in his story, his parable. The first way to live is the way of grace. And that's God's way, the way of forgiveness. And he tells this incredible story. To put it in contemporary terms, as Ortberg does, it's something like the vice president of a huge corporation getting arrested because he owes a significant amount of money to the company. Now, it's got talents, in your 10,000 talents, isn't it, in your reading. What on earth is that? Well, in contemporary terms, it is, this is reasonably ballpark figure, it is £3 billion. £3,000 million. That is how much this man owes. We're talking the debt of countries here. And the point of the story is clearly that it's such a vast figure, there is no way on earth this man is ever going to be able to repay that debt. Even if he sells all his stocks, shares, unit trusts, bonds, everything he's got, and the house, and the cars, and all the contents of his house, and his daughter's Barbies, and his son's Fisher-Price toys, even if he sells all of those, there's no way he's going to be able to pay that debt. No way at all. And that, I am sure, is Jesus' point. And so in the passage, in verse 26, when he falls on his knees and begs the master, the Lord, the man whom he owes, be patient with me, and I will pay back everything. You know, as the reader, Jesus' listeners knew at the time, that's a joke. There's no way he can pay back £3 billion. And so the next verse, which we are perhaps familiar with if we've been going to church for a while, or just sort of flowed over us as Gillian read it to us, is simply astonishing. It's like a slap in the face to wake you up. Gee, look as if you might need on a Sunday evening. Then his master was filled with compassion, filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. We have at the front a retired city accountant. If somebody owed £3 billion, what are the chances, Mr. Accountant, of anyone letting them off and say, that's okay, don't worry, we won't ask you for anything back?
Zero.
Absolutely zero. And the astonishing thing, in the context of the story, the people are saying, what, no prison? I mean, okay, you can let the wife and children go, that's nice. But surely we have to set an example to encourage the others, as the French said. And surely, you know, the sum, I know it's only a drop in the ocean, but at least we can take his house. At least we can get something back, anything we can to recover some assets. And surely, at the very, very least, we're going to drive the guy bankrupt. What kind of justice is this? That's Jesus' point. This is what God is like. He says, I know you owe me more than you can ever repay. I know the debt between us is so massive, but it's okay. We'll let it go. We'll drop it. We'll forget it. If you can't quite see that, imagine here on the platform behind me a pile of sins. I'll make it personal. You make it personal for you. And every time that I do something bad, God pops it here behind me. Now, I don't mean, when I say sins, you know, we tend to think of big things like, oh, I haven't murdered anyone, I haven't filled in my tax return this week, I haven't broken the speed limit in the last 24 hours, you know, nothing major. No, I mean the things that we think we get away with, the things that we justify to other people or to God, I mean, the things that you hope God doesn't notice. Pile them all up. Imagine all those little lies, Imagine all the little gossip. Imagine the lustful thoughts. Imagine the envy. Imagine the pride. I've got quite a pile here, and that's just me. And then it gets worse when I think, imagine every time that I forget God and don't bring him in to my living and my thinking, as we were singing about earlier, for an hour or longer. Put that on the pile, because he wants me to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Imagine every time that I've lost my temper. Imagine every time that I haven't loved my neighbour as myself. And already for the last week, I have got a huge pile. For the last 49 years, I've got a mountain. I remember when we cleared out the balcony up there to create the two rooms, Peter Sanders and I went up the top and threw all the rubbish down onto the area at the back. And we made quite a pile, didn't we? It was this massive pile of junk that needed to go somewhere. And Simon Easley, bless him, went off and found a man with a van. And you looked at this pile and you thought, good grief, how it's going to take hours and hours to shift all that stuff, and it's massive. How are we going to get rid of that huge pile? And thankfully, the man in the van came, we left him to it, and next morning, it was all gone. And you wouldn't have known it was there. God takes the huge pile of my sins, my faults, and he says, let's clear it all away. I'll bring the van, you just leave me to it. It's gone. If I'm honest, there's a huge mountain of things that God could have against me. Faults that I've committed, hurts that I've inflicted, thoughts that I shouldn't have thunk, and words that I wish I had not said. And God looks at them all and he says, it's all right, I'll take it away. I will deal with it. Let's have done with it. I'll clear it. Yeah, do we grasp that? Because if we grasp that, that is the best news ever. It's the best news ever for South London. If we could only transmit it to those lads on the street. It's the best news ever for the Middle East, if we can only transmit it to the warring factions. And goodness me, it's even the best news ever for the church, where frankly, people are not saints in the way that they behave, even if they are in the way God sees us. That is the great good news, and that is the way of grace. That's what Jesus is talking about. But there's two ways to live. And Jesus goes on in the second half of the story, which we didn't have read, so you might like to cast your eye over it, and tells us about the way of unforgiveness. And frankly, this is generally the way of the world. As the chap is leaving, his debt's cancelled, he sees someone who owes him a smaller amount. In contemporary terms, it's around £7,000. He grabs the man by the throat and says, pay me what you owe me. Now, again, I turn to my esteemed advisor in the front row who knows more about finance. Seems to me £7,000 is something, it's worth having, isn't it? I mean, you can invest that and make quite a tidy sum on it. You can understand why he'd like £7,000. It's not 50p we're talking about. It's a significant sum. And so the way of the world is, if I can get £7,000 and someone owes it to me, I will. But that's leaving out the context. The context is, this guy has just been let off, how many? £3 billion. And how, Jesus says, how can he possibly want that small amount back when God has let him off, sorry, when the owner in the story has let him off so much? There are two ways to live. The way of settling scores and getting your own back, and the way of saying, forget it. I forgive you. It's free. It's gone. Two ways to live. Brought out in astonishing clarity in two articles side by side in a news magazine, The Week, that I read last December. Next to each other were the story of Immaculée, a young Tutsi from Rwanda, and Karl Lagerfeld, the fashion designer. The picture on your screen is not Immaculée herself, it's a Rwandan woman after the genocide. Let me read you the two stories. First, Immaculée's. The quality of mercy was not much in evidence in Rwanda in 1994, when about 1 million people, mainly from the Tutsi tribe, were murdered in the worst genocide in living memory. But for Immaculée Iligabaiza, a young Tutsi who lost her entire family in the killings, forgiveness was her only path to peace. If you do not forgive, you kill yourself, Immaculée, a staunch Catholic, told the Mail on Sunday. To forgive is not easy. It's a process. I wished for forgiveness, and well, let's say my body didn't jump to obey, which is hardly surprising, given what happened to her. Hunted by death squads from the rival Hutu tribe, Immaculée, then 22, had taken refuge with a Protestant pastor. When international troops restored order in the region 3 months later, she emerged to learn that her father had been shot, her mother hacked to death, and her brother caught in a crowd that was sprayed with machine gun bullets. The ringleader of this savagery was a local businessman, whom Immaculée knew. She'd even played with his children at school. Believing it was what her family would have expected of her, she resolved to visit him in prison. He was sobbing, she said. I could feel his shame. I reached out, touched his hands, and said what I'd come to say. I forgive you. Right next to that was this article, Karl Lagerfeld's Vicious Streak. By his own admission, Karl Lagerfeld is a very superficial person. I like what's on the outside, and by this I mean clothes, he told Tatler. But if Lagerfeld's loves are superficial, his hatreds are anything but. I take a physical pleasure in revenge, often in a vicious way, he says, and he'll wait as long as it takes to pay back anyone who has wronged him. When people think it's all forgotten, I pull the chair away, maybe 10 years later. They don't even know it's me who in the end kills them. I'm very dangerous for that. Don't touch me, I'll most definitely touch you. There are two ways to live. Two ways in our society, two ways in our church, two ways in your workplace, in your home, amongst your friends. One is God's way. It's a way of forgiveness. It's a hard way. It's a costly way. You forgive those who hurt you. You bless those who curse you. You love other people, even when they do not love you. Jesus says that's God's way. That's the way God has treated you, so now treat one another like that. Well, there's the world's way, which is the easy way, frankly. It's the way of I'll get my own back. I'll get revenge. You'll suffer. You'll pay. I'll curse you. I'll bear a grudge. We have to choose. It's our choice. No one else can choose for us. God doesn't inflict a choice upon us. We choose. When someone upsets me, someone crosses me, someone hurts me, someone disappoints me, someone annoys me, which am I going to choose? Forgiveness and blessing and love, or revenge and curse and grudge? Und Nordberg in his book expands a bit on God's way. He says, if we are going to go God's way, the hard way, make his choice, then I give up the right to hurt back. Because I tend to think I have a right. And I might not do it now, but I reserve the right to do it later if I change my mind. No, we give up the right to hurt back. We lay it down, never to take it up again. We let the white van take it away. When I look at the person, I don't see the hurt they caused. I don't look at them and think, you're the one that did that. I look at them and say, yeah, that's you. I see them as a person, as a whole person, as a person made in God's image, not for what they did. This is the hard way. And finally, and perhaps this is the hardest, I wish them well. I pray for them. Not, dear Lord, I pray that they'll change. I pray that they'll come and apologize. That is not what we're talking about here. Not even, Lord, I pray they don't do to anyone else what they did to me. No. No, it's actually, Lord, bless them. Lord, do good to them. Lord, be with them and pour your blessing upon them. And meaning it, Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. It's the hard way. It's our choice. But God puts before us these two ways. And if we start to live God's way, we could change the world. We can certainly change the people around us. And here, to finish, is the really, really scary thing. God says, you've got free will. I'll let you choose which way you want to handle this. And you make the rules. He's the creator of the universe. He could lay them down, but he says, no, it's your choice to make the rules. You decide what's forgivable and what's not. And you can say certain things. That is not forgivable. I cannot ever excuse that. That's okay, says God. Because what I'll do is I'll live by that rule too. God says he will live by that rule. So if we say it's unforgivable, that's fine. He won't forgive us those things. Wow, that's when it gets scary. God says the measure that you use to others is the measure that I'll use to you. If you won't forgive others, that's okay. I won't forgive you either. And we said, oh, hang on a minute. God says, no, it's fair, isn't it? You choose. Your choice. If you want forgiveness, that's great. Well, use forgiveness. If you don't want forgiveness, well, just leave it in the drawer. That, says John Ortberg, is a scary choice. Vengeance or mercy? Prison or freedom? Hatred or grace? Life or death? Choose wisely. Jesus so often has a sting in the tail. He offers grace, the way of grace, the path of peace, the road to freedom and forgiveness, all the junk cleared away. But he says, if I'm doing that for you, you need to go around hiring some vans too, clearing some stuff out for others. That's your choice. But if you don't, well, the van stops coming. Grace is so attractive, so wonderful, but quite scary too. Let's pray. Lord, first of all, we want to thank you so much for the incredible, amazing, astounding truth that you take all the grot and rubbish and muck that we've piled up in our lives, and when we ask you for forgiveness, you just load it in your van and you drive it away. And you say, it's gone. It's gone. Please, Lord, help us to grasp that. Please help us to preach it. Please help us to share it. Please help us to live it. To live as people who no longer carry the burden of guilt and shame and failure, but are set free. But Lord, then you turn around to us and you scarily say, well, if that's how I've dealt with you, now deal with others like that too. Show my love to them. And Lord, we find that so much harder. We pray, please help us to start living like that. Help us to lay down our grudges and leave them behind. Help us to bless when we are cursed. Help us to love when we are hated. Help us to forgive just as you have forgiven us. Please, Lord, help us, because we know we can't do it by ourselves. But we thank you that you've promised that your Holy Spirit will help us to do that. And tonight, I say for me, that's the way I want to go. That's the choice I want to make. And if you want to make it, you tell God that too in your heart. And if there's someone who immediately comes to mind, or even maybe several people, then maybe tonight is the time when you say to God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for harboring grudges. That's wrong. I see that now. I set them free. Like Immaculate, it can be hard to forgive. Tell the Lord you want to forgive. You really, really want to. And ask for his help to do that. And Lord, thank you. Thank you so much that the last word is always grace. Help us to live by that too. In Jesus' name. Amen.